Which takes us to Roman numeral 2, then. What is the goal of Satan in history? Satan's very name means adversary, doesn't it? Enemy, opponent. If God wants one thing, Satan will want the opposite. So Satan's goal, God's goal is to scatter what was happening in Genesis 11. Satan's goal is to rebuild the whole thing. To reestablish the project that he had through Nimrod in Genesis 11. To reverse, in other words, the doctrine of the nation state, which God himself created as a divine institution. That's why the borders are under assault, currency is under assault, nationhood is under assault, common culture is under assault, common language is under assault, because these are all the pillars of nationhood that Satan's trying to erase. He's got to erase nationhood to bring back globalism or one worldism. You say, are you sure that this is Satan's goal? Well, those are all the verses there. We don't have time to look at them all. But they very clearly reveal Satan's goal. One world government, one world religion. For example, we have Daniel 7, verse 23 as one of many scriptures we could study. But that one real quickly said the fourth beast, that's the final form of Gentile rule which will exist prior to the return of Jesus Christ. The fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms. And notice what it says here. It will devour the whole earth. It will tread it down and crush it. Why is Satan so interested in a world government? There's a very simple answer to that. Jesus is going to have a world government. Did you know that? It's called the Millennial Kingdom. And quite frankly, that's the only new world order I have any interest in participating in. Because if Jesus is administering it, it's going to run fine. Because Jesus is untainted by a sin nature. Anybody else in that role is going to fail because they have a sin nature and they're going to be corrupted by their power, as Lord Acton said, and they're going to abuse their position of power. One of the things to understand about the devil, I think David or somebody brought this up earlier, is the devil is a great imitator. In fact, what was his original sin? Isaiah 14, verse 14, he said, this is in his heart, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Clouds represent the glory of God in the Scripture. You know, Jesus is coming for us in the clouds, right? I used to go outside in Texas and I didn't see any clouds in the air and I said, well, the rapture can't happen today. But that's probably not what the Bible is talking about. The clouds is the glory of God. He's coming for us in His glory. So when Satan wants to ascend above the heights of the clouds, he wants to touch the glory of God and have it for himself. You know, people in ministry fall all of the time. And it's related to one of three things. It's what Billy Graham said to ministers. He said, number one, don't touch the gold. Embezzlement, in other words, don't do it. Number two, don't touch the girls. Sexual immorality. And the third thing he said is, don't touch the glory. If you, as a pastor, stay away from those three things, you're going to have a long career. But the moment you touch any of those things is the moment your days are numbered, particularly the glory of God. The moment a pastor takes credit for the work of God is the moment you might as well write Ichabod across the door. Because God, Isaiah 42 verse 8, will not share His glory with another. And that's what Satan's downfall is, originally an angel, a cherub. He said, I will make myself like the Most High. And he lost his position in heaven because of it. And so Satan, therefore, is a tremendous imitator. He not only wants to be like God, he wants to be God. And he knows that God is going to rule the world through a man, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, in the millennial kingdom. And Satan says, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to rule the world through a Nimrod, and that project got derailed. So one of these days I'm going to rule the world through an Antichrist. And that way I'll be God. I will be like God. And this is the origin or the coming of the one world religious system, which is described in Revelation 17, verse 15, the great harlot who sits on many waters. He said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." Now, I'm teaching through the book of Revelation right now at my local church, and those four nouns show up quite frequently in the book of Revelation: peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And whenever they show up, it refers to a worldwide system. The harlot in the Bible is always used of false religion. It's used as a symbol many times of a false religion, I should say. And so what this is a prediction that one of these days, Satan is going to get his way. He's going to get his system. He's going to get his Tower of Babel. He's going to get his one world religion. He's going to have what Nimrod tried to set up. And once he gets it, it's going to cover the entire earth. So what have we seen thus far? We've seen God's perspective on globalism. God is against it. And we've seen, number two, Satan's perspective on globalism. He's in favor of it. He's trying to institute it. He's trying to erase the doctrine of the nation state and revert the world back to what it was like at the Tower of Babel. And this is why being a Bible-believing Christian is such a wonderful thing. Because you have the vantage point of Scripture, you have the insight into God's Word, you know what happened historically, and you know where history is headed. I mean, we wouldn't understand any of these things. They would just seem like random occurrences. The battle for the borders actually fits into this whole thing. The battle between globalism and nationhood fits into this whole thing because we have the vantage point of Scripture. So that's God's goal, and we've seen what Satan's goal is. And let's move in here to number three, stage setting events. If this is where human history is moving, then we ought to see things in our present world setting the stage, shouldn't we? For Satan's final hour, where he finally achieves his goal. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, we made reference to this in another session. The man of lawlessness is revealed, and then it says later on in the same chapter, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Before the man of lawlessness comes, there's going to be a mystery of lawlessness already in the world. In fact, it was already in the world at the time the Apostle Paul wrote this, back in the first century. You have the identical teaching in 1 John 4 and verse 3, which says, "The spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming," and look what it says, "and now is already in the world." Before the Antichrist comes, there'll be a spirit of the Antichrist in the world, preparing the world for the coming Antichrist. Before the man of lawlessness comes, there would be the spirit of lawlessness in the world, preparing the world for the coming lawless one. This is no surprise, is it? Was not the world prepared for Jesus? You study those 400 years there between Malachi and Matthew, the so-called silent years, and you'll see that God was anything but silent. There were no prophets and prophecies, but the world stage is being set for the coming of Jesus. One of the things that happened is a man named Alexander the Great came along, who, by the way, is the subject of many of Daniel's prophecies. And he took the Greek language and spread it all over the known world. The Greek language is one of the fullest dialects that's ever been given to the human race. We have one word for love in English. In Greek, there's four. So the fullest dialect was in place to record the New Testament, the revelation of God's Son. And beyond that, there was something called Pax Romana universal Roman peace, universal Roman roads. And so when the gospel finally materialized and the Church of Jesus Christ was born, the circumstances were completely ripe for the rapid spread of the gospel through evangelism. God set the stage for the first coming of Christ. So if the stage was set for the first coming of Christ, why is it a big shock to learn that the stage is being set for the second coming of Christ through the lawlessness and spirit of Antichrist already in our world?